when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. The year of our Lord 2018, this November the 10th, at about 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, Earth Time. I'm your host, Eddie L. Miller, a.k.a. the Bombardier Miller, a.k.a. Papaw Miller, depends on which hat I'm wearing. In case y'all wonder where I was last week, I'm sure my capable staff told you. I was up yonder in Yankee land. I was up in New York City. Yes, New York City is up there running the 2018 TCS New York City Marathon. We ran through all five boroughs. It's 26.3 miles of some hellacious bridges and hellacious winds. Some of those streets are like wind tunnels. I'm here to tell you, you have to take on and put off clothes to avoid hypothermia and hyperthermia. I saw people falling on the pavement on their face. We had people do a collapse with blood clots, but yours truly, I made it through. And the good news is what we do here at Blood River, what we do at Liberty News, and what we do at the Political Cesspool, we've all been involved in charity projects with this radio station. Sam has been very generous in letting me take off like that. But I'm here to tell you, my little group that we went to New York with, I'm letting y'all know what I've been doing. We raised over $700,000 for the TCS New York Marathon for St. Jude. Here in Memphis, I think the last account, we're up over $3 million. But we raised money for St. Jude. That's one of our passions, so one of our many passions. But our very capable staff handled it last week. I didn't get to listen to all the show, but I have no qualms whatsoever. I know they did a marvelous job. And, you know, tonight we're going to bring in a new guy y'all hadn't heard, except for the first show when we introduced him. His name is Jacob Tyler. I love to call him Katchelhofer because it's his middle name. And if I had a Katchelhofer for middle name, that's what people would call me. But also, we're going to bring in, we have two nice guests tonight. A lot of you people may be aware of Mark Weber for Institute of Historic Review. He's going to come on the first hour after the first break, and he's going to go over a speech that he gave last month at the Institute of Historical Review. The guy is very well read, very well published. He's an amazing fellow. I've met him a few times. I've admired him for a long time, even when he used to write, I think, for what they call the Noontide Press. But in the second hour, we're going to bring in a guy by the name of Jerry Barrett. He is Tex Mars's right-hand man. Tex Mars, as you well know, one of my heroes. Tex Mars has retired. And, boy, I hated to see him retire. It was a conspiracy against the Bombardier. You know, when I got my radio show and how I penciled Tex in, he was going to be one of my main guys I was going to call on, was going to bring in all the time. But, y'all, before I get going much further, I would like to do what we're going to always try to do here on Blood River Radio. I'm going to say a prayer, y'all. I'm doing the best I can to call on the Lord, because I tell you what, we were in one heck of a fix in this country. This world's in one heck of a fix. And when us Christians, we are under some supreme persecution. So if you don't mind, everybody out there, kind of bow your heads and tolerate me. I'm going to say a quick prayer here, y'all. Almighty God, dear Almighty Father God, the Father of Abraham, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of this radio show, the God of Liberty News, the God of all this country here, whether you like it or not, God Almighty, he spoke. You know what he did, folks? He spoke the entire universe into existence. Everything that's seen and unseen. There was nothing made until you, O Lord, you spoke it into existence. In fact, your Lord didn't even have to speak it. He could just think it. He didn't even have to think it. He has powers we can't even keep track of. But he also, what he did for us, he sent his son, his only son, to earth. He sent him here to go through unspeakable hell, to go through torture we can't even comprehend. It would have killed any other man. And he died. He was hung on a tree. He died. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again, y'all. He rose again just for our sins. While we were yet sinners, he died for us, y'all. And that's who I'm praying to tonight. And if you, Lord, if you will look over this radio station, look over Liberty News, look over all of our friends and our relatives. And God, we need you. We need you like crazy. And if it's not too late, if you hadn't already passed judgment on this country here, Lord, if you will, stay your hand. And Lord, if you will, pushes our enemies back. Bring your strong arm against our enemies, Lord. Save your remnant here in the country. If you can, save and convert as many people over to Christ as possible before the final judgments come, Lord. I ask all this in Jesus' name, O Lord. Well, thank you very much, people, for tolerating me there. And before we bring our next guest on, I'd just like to tell you what a wonderful time I had up there in New York. My oldest daughter carried me up there. My wife doesn't go all the time. She says I get kind of wild up there. But and plus, you know, the money gets kind of tight sometimes. But I'll tell you what. We always hear about, you know, the differences of people in the United States. You know, Yankee versus rebel, Southerner versus Northerner, etc. But I'm going to tell you what. Some of the nicest people I've ever seen in my whole life are in New York City, in Manhattan. I didn't see one person up there that I couldn't talk to the whole time I was there. I really didn't. I wanted to spread the news by a radio show more than I was able to, but I didn't get to because I wanted to meet some of our dear listeners up there. I can't mention their names, of course, but I didn't have time to meet them. It's just like the time is just like a blur. I can't even believe it's gone that fast. Me and my daughter, we left out of Memphis, Tennessee, and drove to Nashville. I'm probably about to run out of time, and let's make this fast. I want y'all to know where I was. We drove to Nashville last Thursday. Friday morning, we got up. We got to the airport about 5:50. We left the Nashville airport about 6:30, probably, when the plane took off. We went into New York City. We got there in New York about, 9:45 to 10. I had to go to Jacob Javits Community Center up on 11th and 35th. And I was there all day with the Alsac St. Jude, the charity arm of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. They also picked up my packet. You have to have a packet to run. You would not believe how tight the security is. You cannot even get close to Charity Village without having all these different armbands. And now Sunday morning, I had to be at Central Park at about 5. We're at Central Park at 5 o'clock. We got on the St. Jude Hero buses. They have buses for St. Jude Heroes. They carried us from Central Park. We left at 5:30 sharp. If you're not on the bus, it's just too bad, so sad. They took us to Staten Island, and then we walked over to Fort Wadsworth. It's an old Army base, and there's thousands of people there, the largest marathon in the world, and we have all kinds of charities up there. Then we have this great charity village set up for the St. Jude Heroes and a few other charities, where we had hot coffee and bagels and rolls. It's really nice. Have a lot of camaraderie up there. And then my corral didn't get to leave until about 11 o'clock, so you're up. I hear the music coming, but I hope y'all get the gist of what I was talking about. That's where I've been with the St. Jude Heroes. And in just a few minutes, we're getting ready to bring Jacob Tyler on and Mark Weber. God bless you for listening to us. We'll be right back.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something.
Well, hello there, folks. We're back here with you with listening to Blood River Radio. And like I promised earlier before this break, I told you we had a great guest coming up here by the name of Mark Weber. And also, we're bringing in for his first run ever. He's one of our great staff. I'm really excited to have Jacob Tyler on tonight. And Jacob Tyler is going to be running this show mostly tonight. I'm going to be here like me and Sam was talking about the break. I'm going to be kind of like a traffic cop, handing the ball off. For any questions, I want Jacob to kind of handle most of the questions because, like we said, this is a brand new show, and we're trying to get all of our staff in here with some experience. So with that introduction, Mark, if you will, Mark, come in and give us a brief. You will give us a brief bio. Like most people already know you, but some of the people on Blood River may not know you. Give us a brief. Give us a quick bio.
Well, thank you, Eddie. I'm very happy to be with you, and I'm this is the first time on your new show, and so it's a pleasure being with you. I'm not a son of the South. I was born and raised in Portland, Oregon. I have no ancestors who were in the – well, I have one part of my family from Louisiana near Thibodeau in the South there. But anyway, I was born and raised in Portland. I went to college there, went to high school there. I studied in Chicago University in Portland. I went to graduate school in Indiana. I was a year in the University of Munich in Germany. I've lived 2.5 years in Germany, and I traveled pretty widely all over Europe. In 1991, I moved to California to begin working for the Institute for Historical Review, and I've been here ever since. And that's my main job, my day job, night job, whatever, 24-hour, 7 job is with the IHR. I urge people to, if they want to know more about what we do, and I think it's what we have to say is valuable and useful, check out our website, ihr.org. Anybody visiting our website, I think, will notice that there's a lot more on our website than many others. You might say dissident websites about the world at large and about, of course, about history. We try to look at current events from a more historical perspective, standing back a bit, looking at the forest rather than the trees. And we try to look at historical events that have relevance for us today to try to learn from that. We were in the news a bit in September because we put up digital display boards at two subway stops in San Francisco with the simple message, History Matters, and it had our name and our logo. And this got a lot of attention and, of course, a lot of attack from the usual suspects who don't like any publicity for the IHR, even if it's for a message as innocent as History Matters. But any presence, of course, by the IHR is disliked. I'm very pleased that a lot of our articles and broadcasts and so forth have been very widely distributed and reposted around the world, sometimes in translation. And over the years, I know we've had a real impact, I think, on influencing people. But we don't try to reach the mass of people. In every period of human history, the percentage, the portion of the public that both cares about issues really strongly and cares about the future of the nation and the people is always a small one. And the number who has the sort of wit or to understand a lot about these things beyond just the immediate is always a small percentage. And so I try very hard to reach not the public at large, but the number of people, small people, a number of people who can and must, I believe, be leaders in the future if our people is to have any future at all.
Mark, you nailed it. You know what? That's my motto, and I'm going to shut up in a minute. That's the motto I got when I started this radio station. I had one of my very best friends in the world. 100 people gave me advice. You need to reach the masses. I said, I don't give a crap about the masses. Just the voice, what you said. You're out there, like the Marine said, I'm after a few good men because most of the people are never going to get it. Most of the people don't care. Most of the people, and I hate to sound, condescending or too judgmental, but most people, most of our people, especially white people, they just could care less about their own race. They could care less about events. But you nailed it, son. I know we're never going to get the masses. We don't want the masses. But and also another comment that you made, history. It's been said. I've seen where several different people have been credited with the quote, the further you can look back into the past, the further you can see into the history. Also, as you well know, Karl Marx and the communists, the reason they were so fanatically just hell-bound to separate, especially our young people from our history, is because Karl Marx himself said, if we could just get the young people from their roots, take them from their roots where they don't know where they came from. We can tell them they came from monkeys. We can tell them, we can teach them anything. Because if they don't believe anything, we can teach them anything. But I'm going to shut up now and go back to you, Mark. And Mark, I believe that you had an article you sent me about a speech that you gave recently. I didn't get to read all the article. It's pretty long, but I kind of skimmed it. But I know you're going to go over it in the speech, and you're going to, and we can ask you questions when you get through. And we know how to do that. And like I said, I want Jacob to come in. So go ahead, Mark. Go back to that article.
Well, I'd like to relate exactly what you said to this article and this talk I gave. It's the mass of people, ordinary people, are very influenced by what they get in the media. And given the fact that the media is so hostile to us and our people and our heritage, the vast of people are not going to be very eager to go along with an outlook that's going to get them called names and going to get them criticized. So that's why we try to reach that. And then in the article, I talk about exactly the kind of distortions of history that we'll see. And an example I give in the article is a new film that just came out by a person who's considered a great conservative in America, namely Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh D'Souza, born and raised in India, is hailed by all sorts of people as an outstanding representative of American conservatism. And but his latest film, and a lot of other things that Dinesh D'Souza has to say, is just historically upside down, completely wrong. In his latest film, he tries to show that the real racists, the real bad guys in America have always been the Democrats. The Democrats, he compares Donald Trump to Abraham Lincoln, and the Democrats he compares to the Nazi Party and fascists, and they're bad. But this is a gross distortion of reality. But more than that, if you accept the narrative that Dinesh D'Souza has, well, what's the point of being a conservative? Because you end up being hostile to your own ancestors, your own people, in this kind of thing. And that's a real problem, because what our people lack, I think, so badly is leadership. And I don't mean leadership just politically. I mean leadership in education, in cultural life, and even intellectually. And that's an enormous problem, because so many of those who are, you might say, leaders in what's broadly called conservatism are actually very misleading in many ways. And I could give a lot of examples that we might get into after this.
You know, Mark, you mentioned two items I'd like to go back to. You know, mentioned the media, the lying media. I'm going to make it clear who the media is if no one wants to. People, you can call me anything you want. I don't care. Matter of fact, I've said on this radio station, my enemies, I welcome the hatred. I love their hatred. I take a bath in their hatred. You know, their hatred, I grow. I can run 2 minutes a mile faster in a marathon on this hatred. It's like vitamin C to me. So the media in this country are made up of Jews. Zio Jews. They own the media. They own Hollywood. They own everything else. I hear the music, Mark. We're going to go right back. I'm going to hit one other point you made, and then I'm going to try to turn some questions over to Jacob when you get through with your speech. So people, we'll be right back. We'll be right back. We have Mark Weber on, and he is a fascinating guy. Hang on.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Okay, guys, we're back, and I'd like to go back just to make a few points that we're going to make before we went to the break. We were talking about what I call the Zio media, and that's not my term. I borrowed from other people, but you know, starting with about 1895, when the Zio Jewish, they got control of the media. First, the New York Times, and they got turned, you know, Boston Globe. They control all the media. I mean, it's open fact. They control Hollywood. So when you talk about the media, the lying media, what Donald Trump's referring to when he talks about lying media, if you're talking about Jews, and Jews as a race, they're not Christian. They don't like Christians. In every country they've ever got into, they try to displace us. Also, going back to this, whatever his name is, he doesn't know much about history. Dinesh D'Souza. He doesn't know much about history because I'm 71 years old. I remember in my time, Lester Maddox of Georgia, Oral Farmers of Arkansas, George Wallace of Alabama. They were all, you know, yellow dog Democrats. The Democrats have totally changed. But, you know, nowadays, and I'm going to shut up, nowadays both parties are all controlled by Jewish money. It's no secret at all. Now I'm going to go back to you. And also, I would like to see if Jacob's there. If Jacob, do you have any questions yet, son? That's our guest.
I'm here, Eddie. I'm just soaking it all in right now.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you. Do you have any? If you don't have anything to say, I'm going to rock and roll.
We've met once before in person, Mark, or a couple times actually. So it's an honor.
Yes, I remember. Yes, I do. Yes.
Likewise, and of course, have a great deal of appreciation for IHR and all the work that it's done, and just very interesting saga you guys have undergone, and very relevant and important work you're doing. So. I'm just enjoying listening to you guys talk right now. So you guys keep right on going.
Move on from what Eddie said is that yes, there's a great deal on our website about the Jewish hold on our media and our political life. This is reflected over and over in American life, in which political leaders essentially have to kowtow to this power, what I call Jewish Zionist power, the Israel lobby, whatever, or they're not elected. That's just how it works. It's actually, Americans should be ashamed that every few years, the leader of Israel comes to the U.S. Congress, and he's applauded more enthusiastically than any American leader. And, in fact, he's applauded more than he is in his own country. And politicians who do that, of both parties, Republican and Democrat, don't do that because they care about Israel. They care about their own careers. They care. They know that unless they submit or kowtow or go along with this power and basically sign a blank check to what Israel wants, they're going to be out of a job. They're going to be destroyed because anybody who openly even talks about the extent of this power and the hold it has on the media and our politics and our foreign policy, they'll be attacked by the ADL and called names and other organizations, and that's a token of their power. But this is a tremendous problem in America that is manifest in so many ways. You know, around the world, the one country that and the one leader applauds the U.S. policy in the Middle East is Israel. The rest of the world thinks this is crazy, and this has harmful consequences for the American people. Notably, for example, in the 2003 U.S. invasion of Iraq, which was sold to the American people on the basis of lies and deceit, a war that was not in the interest of the American people of the world, but was done, as Senator Hollings of South Carolina said, for the benefit of Israel. These are very, very dangerous things. And as long as American political life is corrupted to this extent, there's just no hope for any salvation for our people and our nation and a better world unless that power is broken.
Mark has even infiltrated in the churches. You know, here on our show, and you know, I co-host with James on Political Cesspool, we have hammered the church so many times. And, you know, James and I both were I came into the church late, into the Southern Baptist Church, but the churches are so bad. I call them the Zio Christian churches. Here they are. You get this. And they rant and rave and rant and rave about abortion. You know, and I'm not pro-abortion at all. But they just wring their hands and gnash their teeth about the abortion. We're killing millions of people, But they don't blink an eye. When the United States military goes over here, and you brought up Iraq, and bomb Iraq and Syria and Serbia, bomb the living crap out of them and kill tens of thousands of kids. Women and children, they starve women and children to death. They're embargoes. You know, and this, the total hypocrisy, but I'm going to shut up just a second. You know, even Netanyahu himself came up and just rubbing salt in our face, rubbing salt in the wound. He said he had no trouble with ISIS. He had no trouble with Al-Qaeda. You know, people, and I probably said this on another show, ISIS has never attacked Israel. Al-Qaeda has never attacked Israel. They do attack Christians. In the country of Iraq that Mark just mentioned, before the United States went in there and invaded Iraq, there was over 2 million Christians in Iraq. They were never persecuted. They had their churches. They were left alone. They were unmolested. When the United States got through going into Iraq, there's less than 100,000 Christians there. They had to flee. The ones that weren't killed, a lot of them, guess where they are? Guess where a lot of them went to? They're in Syria now. Assad has Christians in his cabinet. But they protect the Christians. They have Christian churches there. And yet, who does the United States go and attack? We're over there attacking Assad, the guy who's fighting in Russia, the people who are attacking, who are trying to defeat these terrorists, the ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And here, I mean, it's insane. It's stupid. And, you know, you can check other websites. What I'm telling you is totally true. And these people, these stupid Southern Baptists over here and other evangelical churches, to cheer that on. We're over there fighting the terrorists. We're over there killing Christians, and we're attacking people who are trying to stand up to Christians. And I'm getting long-winded there again, Mark. You hit one of my red buttons, fellas. I'm going to toss it back to you.
Well, Eddie, no. I mean, these points need to be emphasized over and over because it's very striking. I talk a lot. I try to understand people's points of view, even if I disagree with them. And evangelical Christians who are very supportive of Israel seem to have almost no concern for real Christians around the world. That's one of the astonishing things. It's not just in the Middle East. The Christians here in America don't seem to have any appreciation that there are hundreds of millions of Christians in Russia and other countries, and they don't have any sense of their sensitivities, but particularly the Christians in the Middle East. You know, Israel discriminates against people not on the basis of whether they're Muslims, but that they're not Jews. And they discriminate just as much against Christian Palestinians as they do against Muslim Palestinians because they're not Jews. But amazingly, American Christians, they have this solidarity with Israel because I think it makes them feel good. You know, you mentioned about abortion. Jewish organizations were at the forefront of pushing for legalizing abortion in the United States. But evangelical Christians who have lost out on issue after issue, the one thing that they are especially proud about is their support of Israel, even though the very people who are behind and make possible America's support for Israel, that is the organized Jewish community here, is absolutely opposed to evangelical Christians and every other issue that matters to them except Israel. I mean, that ought to tell everybody something, because there's something very dishonest, really, about the entire evangelical support for Israel, because a lot of it is based on this idea, well, this is all part of a plan to end the world in which the whole world's going to blow up and the Jews are going to die too. I mean, it's in other words, it's not out of real concern for Jews, because to listen to evangelicals talk about it, there's going to be this nuclear holocaust, and the Jews are going to die anyway. I mean, it's a bizarre kind of point of view, and one that is not shared by Christians anywhere around the world except in the United States, and only a certain percentage of them.
You're so right. And Mark, just in case, I don't want to say I'm clumsy tonight, but like I said, we're a new radio show, and I'm trying to get my new guys in. Jacob's, he's much smarter than me. He's been around radio a lot. So I'm going to ask, Jacob, do you have anything to add to that, son?
Oh, well, Eddie's just being modest. I do actually have a question for you, because I think it bears mentioning here that, you know, the things we're talking about, it's so passe to those of us who are awake and aware and alert, you know, to the point where it doesn't...
Oh, Jacob, I'm sorry. We're going to a break. Jacob, hold that thought, son. We're coming right. And the reason I call Jacob, son, I'm old enough to be his grandpa. So we're going to a break. When we come back, Jacob has a question for our esteemed guest, the guy I've been following for years and years and years, and I'm tickled to death having him on our show. We're going right back. Jacob's going to go back right back to Mark as soon as we come back from this break, folks. So hang on.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, I'm so glad you're holding on. The people that are hanging on here, I really appreciate you people coming to our radio show. We have a dynamite guest tonight, a guy I've been following for years and years and years, Mark Weber. A wonderful guy, a wonderful historian, and we have our great new staff member Jacob on. and Jacob Tyler. I love to call him Katzelhofer. But anyway, before we break, Jacob goes back to his question. I just want to add one more thing. I've talked about the media, and I'm going to shut up. I know, you know, I think it was last week, the New York Times, totally Jewish control, totally 100% owned by 8 Jewish families. They had an article in there, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm 99% sure, had an article in the New York Times saying we have replaced them. They have talking about that the white Gentile people in the United States have been replaced by the colored races. Now, with that, I'm going to shut up. Jacob, go back to you, son, and ask that question you're going to ask, if you will, please.
Yeah, thanks, Eddie. Well, anytime. I was prefacing what I was going to ask Mark with the observation that it's really easy amongst our circles to get sort of desensitized to the realities like what Mark is talking about, you know, like the dual citizenship phenomenon and the preferential treatment and the double-mindedness amongst evangelicals and all of that. And so it just, to us, it's so passé, it's so commonplace that it's easy to just sort of state the reality of it without actually commenting on just how significant the phenomenon we're talking about really is. And given that Mark's a historian, I thought it would be worth noting and something significant to ask him of help put this in the perspective for us. Is there any kind of historical precedent that you're aware of, Mark, out there of the kind of thing we're talking about, where people have dual citizenship, you know, open dual allegiance, you know, to another country? Granted, we know these things have always gone on, in a more clandestine and behind-the-scenes capacity, but it's so open and it's even celebrated now in a sort of status symbol. And so given your, field of expertise and whatnot, I would just like for you to comment on that a little bit and talk about that if you're aware of anything quite like that in our long history. Just from the Roman era, from the Greek era. I mean, is there anything that we can even compare this right. phenomenon we're talking about today to in the right. historical timeline?
Yeah, this is very interesting. That's a very good question. Is there anything comparable to the era we live in human history? There are parallels. I could cite a number of them. There's different ways to look at it. One is the Jewish role in history. Throughout history, Jews have, as a group, have operated in the same way in country after country where they exist. And the pattern of Jewish action in society is one that people have observed from the very beginning, whether it's in ancient Egypt, Greece, Rome, the Middle Ages in Europe, and up to our present time. But, it's a bigger question. How is it that this small group can have this kind of power in the United States? What went wrong? Where did things go? Now, there are remarkable parallels between the role of this group in the United States today and in Germany after the First World War and in other countries. But the grip on the media was very comparable in Germany in the 1920s and early 30s before Hitler took power in Germany. But it was true in other places as well. I've given talks about this, and after the First World War, when much of Europe was in ruins and the old regime had fled and collapsed, Jewish groups took power, of course, in the Soviet Union, in Russia, largely Jewish, in Hungary, in Bavaria, this same thing took place. But there's an important difference between those that phenomenon in those countries then and today, and that's because a lot of this comes out of the legacy of the Second World War. Out of the Second World War was a commitment by the United States that most Americans have accepted for the last 80 years, that the United States is a country for everyone, that we're dedicated to an ideology of egalitarianism, a universalist ideology. And this ideology, which was explicitly emphasized by the American leaders and by American propaganda during World War II, is one that both Republicans and Democrats have accepted. I put a big emphasis on the prevailing ideology of our time, and it's led to consequences. The border policy, the immigration policy, the enshrining of Martin Luther King as the exemplary American of the 20th century, across the board, these are all expressions of the triumph of an ideology that really was crowned and took really root in American life at the end of the Second World War, and then by extension in Europe, because it was the United States that imposed its hegemony, its ideology in Europe, in Western Europe in the Second World War, and of course the Soviets in the eastern part. And that's one of the reasons why Germany and Western Europe accepts the same worldview in the West, so-called Western worldview. It's actually very un-Western in many and very in most important ways. But a lot of this comes out as a completely understandable consequence of the outcome of the Second World War.
Now, okay, so of course, the most dramatic effects of that are pretty observable in Germany. Of course, you know, they're basically living as a conquered country even to this very day. But could you elaborate a little bit on how that's the case in here in America as well, especially as the ostensible victors of the war?
The logic of the ideology that's been in place is that culture, race, religion are not really important. Countries are just collections of individuals. It doesn't matter if the population of the United States or Germany is made up of people from Afghanistan or Nigeria or Thailand. That countries are defined, as our leaders tell us over and over, not by culture or heritage or religion or race or ethnicity, but by the ideology, by the extent to which they embrace this universalist, egalitarian ideology. And the logic of that is that it's going to have the borders opened for everybody, and that it means the death of every viable cultural heritage, including, of course, the West. And this has been in place. West Germany is especially like this. Angela Merkel and the Germans, who have a policy of welcoming hundreds of thousands and then millions of people from the Third World, they're acting in a way that they think is completely right and honorable and good, considering and consistent with the outcome of the Second World War and the ideology, because they say, well, the alternative to that point of view is, after all, fascism and Hitler. And so they're going to do everything impossible to act in accord with this ideology, but especially in Germany, because the Federal Republic of Germany was essentially the creation of the United States of America. And to expect Germans to stop the third worldization of Germany is silly, considering that Americans don't stop it here in their own country. They're just acting in accord with the same principles that are in place here in the United States.
I'm sorry, Mark. I misunderstood your pause. I was just going to say that I can think of one nation in the world where that ideology is rejected, and that would be Israel.
Yes, of course. That's the stunning thing, is that Jewish organizations push an ideology for non-Jews that they don't accept themselves. And they have persuaded millions of people to accept the idea that the United States, France, Germany, England are countries for everyone, but Israel is not just merely not like that. They demand that the United States recognize and support Israel as a specifically Jewish ethno-religious state. The same principle is in place, completely contrary to the one that's pushed here. And that's why organizations like the ADL and so forth are two-faced. They're absolutely hypocritical. They push policies and agenda for everyone else that is completely 180 degrees different than the ideology they push for themselves.
An ethno state, like I've said before, me, but not.
Oh, go ahead, Jacob. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, an ethno
go, Jacob,
state
go.
Me, but not for thee.
just 1 minute, please. Hold on a second. Yes. Yes. Okay. I just had to do something here. Hello.
Jacob, you there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm here.
Oh. Cool. Mark's talking back to you.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, Go ahead, Mark.
It's this enormous double standard, this tremendous hypocrisy. And the fact that, see, look, I'll give another example. Both conservatives and liberals, but especially conservatives, denounce what they call identity politics. They say identity politics is un-American because it divides Americans into different groups. They say that we should all think of ourselves as Americans.
I'm sorry, Mark. We hear the music, fella. We've run out completely out of time. I'm so sorry. We're having a fascinating conversation here. But hear the music. We'll have to get you back again as soon as possible. Thank you so much, Mark, for coming
Thank
on our show.
And
yes, sir. We've got to have you on soon. Thank you very much, folks. But we'll be right back, people. We're going back to our next guest in a few minutes, Jerry Bear from the Texas Martyrs Association. See you in a few minutes after the break.